This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hour number two, 3 hour show. It's The Usual Suspects on an F Yeah Friday from Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. AJ the Blitz playing right now at one table to my right. Lance Zierlein, who just paid $2 a minute to get his neck and shoulders rubbed out. And I told him that was not comped and part of the deal. And because he makes NFL money, NFL.com and NFL Network money, he was fine with that. So Lance is playing cards, getting a massage. I'm sure he'll get a pedicure before 4 o'clock.
Is it really $2 a minute?
Yeah.
Yep. Getting ripped off. I used to pay a dollar a minute.
Nick, I think it's a fantastic deal because it's Prime Social, who is a large contributor to the ESPN radio
I'm kidding. I'm talking about the whole farm
business
incident.
Program and plan.
Yeah.
But if Whole Foods also gave you a chance to toss a salad and get your back rubbed,
I think they removed the tent. I don't think they have it anymore.
Hold on. Is Nick the type of guy that thinks strippers like him?
No. See, Cody, because you were stuck in traffic on 610, you weren't aware of the fact that previously on this show we've discussed the fact that when we were talking about massages, that Nick had said that he had found – and Nick, did you say it was a good massage?
I did.
Yeah. So Nick had said that one of the massages he thought that they did a really good job was actually at Whole Foods. And Barry and I were very much surprised that you had the opportunity to get a massage at a Whole Foods. But, Nick, you can tell Cody about the fact that you were able to get your salad tossed and also get a massage in a half-hour period of time at a Whole Foods.
They just had a tent, and it was a dollar a minute, and it was a 10-minute minimum. And I thought it was an amazing place to get a massage. But Joel and Barry felt the need to make fun of me for, 3 weeks after the fact? Because they thought it was a stupid place to get a massage.
That's you ever basic. Stopped at one of those guys in the mall?
Nope.
Yeah, we mentioned that,
That's weird,
that
though.
Too.
That's out and about, in the public. With the way they did it, there's, a little tent, so there's, a little privacy.
Imagine Nick got hurt in an NFL game.
And they put the tent
Nick
over
Nick just went into the blue tent and got his shoulders rubbed, and then when he got out, he got his salad tossed right there with the buffet line, pick your own and weigh your salad, then you walk out, and he got, everything in a treat on the way out because he got dinner on the way home. And it was all healthy because it's Whole Foods. Who knew? I would assume that they used organic oil when they rubbed you down, Nick. Because
it worked great for me. I didn't have any problems with it.
So it was virgin olive oil that they rubbed you down with. Even though by the end of the massage you weren't necessarily
no rubbing down
a virgin
of any oil
massage patient.
I mean, for a dollar a minute, I didn't think they want to throw down any oil or anything that would cost them money.
Wait, so they massaged you without any oil?
Mm-mm. No lotion or anything?
No. No lotion, Cody. Nope.
That creates unnecessary friction and possible
my shirt was on and
skin irritation.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were paying a dollar a minute
still
for
do
Indian
that,
sunburns.
Nick? Or do you think that someone stepped in and went, this is too close to the produce?
Nah, they just, it was weird because they put you in the, the little, it was like a little cafeteria area, I guess, when you, you know how they have a little buffet certain times of the day? So they just put you in the dining area. And then right next to the dining area is where the tent was set up, and you just kind of went inside that tent. Yeah.
The fellas at the mall, because I've gotten the mall massage before.
Nixon concussion protocol at Whole Foods.
Whole Foods.
That's fantastic.
The fellas at the mall give you a free 5 minutes, and they'll work on just your right shoulder. And at the end of 5 minutes, they ask you if you want the other 15 minutes of the massage.
Yeah.
Well, they've only worked on one side of your body.
So you're kind of
so you kind of feel like you got to get the other 15 minutes. I got tricked into doing that one time. That'll never happen again.
No. Well, what if you just get the other shoulder done for $5?
That wasn't an option.
Oh. Well, maybe you should renegotiate. I think you need to get better negotiating skills with your 5-minute massage capabilities. All right. So Rockets win last night. Didn't see it coming. No one did. But evidently that's why Vegas knows what they're doing. Because the Rockets were given the Warriors, 3.5?
Yeah.
We were all over it. Fred and AJ were talking about it. A slam dunk, no pun intended. Got to be all over the Warriors last night. Well, Vegas was very happy if you were, because Man, I mean, talk about what we thought Golden State would come out focused. They would call national TV, so they want to send a message. And, boy, the Rockets sent the message. Three in a row now, starting to put it together. And it looks like, as much as we keep saying Carmelo wasn't the issue and the bigger deal, but it sure is making them play a lot better basketball.
Yeah, no Carmelo even in the bench area, whatever, and all of a sudden the Rockets are 500 basketball team and trending way upward. Funny how that works.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And I get, look, Melo wasn't the only thing. I know people are already firing up their text fingers to send it in, but it was clearly a large thing that was weighing on. Here's the thing. Maybe it wasn't weighing on James Harden and Chris Paul, and maybe it was weighing on everybody else on
that
team.
I keep telling you guys, it was weighing on Eric Gordon because the minutes were different. Who he was on the floor with was different. The shots and the quality of shots he was getting, different. Now he's feeling more comfortable. He's more in his comfort zone, as well as other guys. And you can say Gerald Green has been dinged up, but if Gerald Green's not dinged up, his minutes would have been drastically different with Melo on this roster than with him out. So, and the other thing that's a blessing in disguise, too, is, Nick, I know Clint Capella is your favorite of all favorites, but your new favorite guy, Charlie was poo-pooing on him yesterday. Charlie Pelillo was like, you know, Gary Clark is not ready to be an NBA player and play regular minutes, everything like that. Well, that's not what I saw last night. I saw a guy that, of all the things that Daryl has done wrong, one thing Daryl did right is he went and got this undrafted free agent, and this dude has looked like a stud that's only going to get better for this team.
I always told you that he shot with an ability to look like he just shot with a lot of confidence. And when you start hitting one or two three-pointers, that's one thing. But when you hit three consecutive three-pointers, I think that does a lot for someone as young as Gary Clark at the NBA level. Now, is he ready to be the guy that replaces Carmelo Anthony or Trevor Ariza? No, he's not. And I expect Daryl Morey and the Rockets to make some sort of move to kind of replenish the depth that they now lack because of the moves that they made in the offseason and the fact that the Melo experiment has failed. So I have a lot of great things to say about Gary Clark. I don't necessarily think he's ready. So I guess to a certain extent, I do kind of agree with Pelillo. But that's all you can ask for a guy who's on a two-way deal and is as young as Gary Clark is. Like, what do you expect?
I mean, let's be honest, Nick. And on that point, you're absolutely right. I mean, the blessing is that with Melo leaving, as soon as they get that situation rectified, that money's going to be used to do a 2 or 3 year deal for Gary Clark so that he's not anymore on the two-way deal because he's only allowed 45 days on the NBA roster and around the Rockets before he has to just get back to the D-League. So in order to make that permanent change effective, what you have to do is you got to make sure that he's tied up with not a two-way contract, but a regular contract. This should allow you to do that. But, you know, to hear Charlie say that he's not good enough to be on the floor and he's not there yet to be an NBA player, the only way that he has to prove anything now, because Harden was talking about it after the game last night, about you could see in the first couple games the nerves and the fact that he was pressing and he was tight. Now he's relaxed and he's letting it go. The only thing he has to do now is be consistent.
Sure.
You know, if he starts putting, you know, a couple games in a row together where he is consistently contributing and knocking down shots, all that narrative is going to go away, and people are going to realize this dude's here to stay.
Just get in the mix. Just get in the mix and stay in the mix. If you're Gary Clark, just take the most of, make the most of your opportunity. Take advantage of it. Get in the mix. Stay in the mix, and hope that Mike D'Antoni is going to continue to trust you and does so throughout
the course
of the season.
The bench is still absolute crap.
Yes.
And the fact is, Nick, with what we're seeing from Gary Clark, it's not anything worse than what you're seeing from James Ennis, because James Ennis is the same guy that I told you yesterday hits the crotch between the rim and the backboard more than he actually hits the bottom of the net and puts his threes through, and there are games when he makes a few and a whole lot of games when he misses a few. So, you know, you got a lot of inconsistent play from a lot of guys that are the same kind of player, but again, this is why I go back to where it falls on Daryl's shoulders. He brought in a whole bunch of square pegs to fit into round holes when you lost Ariza and Mbah Mute and guys that could be the 3-and-D guys and fit in the system for Mike D'Antoni. So there's still work to be done. And, yeah, the Melo thing you think is behind you, even though he hasn't been officially waived or traded. But at the same time, you're hoping to move on, capitalize on three in a row. And at the same time, Daryl has to look past his big blockbuster deal that he was working on with Minnesota and Butler and try to get some role players that can actually contribute and strengthen your bench on this team because their bench is awful. We were talking a year ago how their bench was as strong as anybody in the league except for maybe Toronto and maybe even better than them. And now you're looking at them going, their bench may be the worst of any contending team in in the Western Conference.
It's not great. That's why you need something out of guys like Gary Clark while he's here, while he's one of the options that you're going to go to off that bench. You go out there, again, make the most of it, and if they don't see it, certainly somebody else will, and you get some minutes somewhere else. But right now he's helping the Rockets, and he's helping the Rockets, you know, big time.
Anything else stand out to you, Nick, last night being there?
I just would like to see another turnover. Like the fact that that there were so little turnovers in this game, I would like to see that continue going forward. And I know the Golden State Warriors are kind of experimenting with lineups of their own. They've got some new faces as well and dealing with their own little issues, mm-hmm. not to mention the Steph Curry situation and his groin injury. But I would like to see that continue because your boy James Harden actually leads the league in turnovers. I think they only had four in the first half. I don't know how many turnovers they had exactly in the entire game. But I know it, compared to other games, they didn't turn the ball over. So I would like to see them continue to do that against other good defensive teams, especially with the fact that they have young players. Young players make mistakes. Mistakes usually lead into turnovers. If they have this bench, you know, this lack of bench right now, and they continue to play well, taking care of the ball, I would like to see that going forward, especially in the Western Conference.
Have they given you any update on Brandon Knight? Because I saw that he was out there getting up shots after shoot around yesterday. And the closer he gets to playing, that may solve a little bit of the bench issue, too, because there's a guy that, if he is healthy, he can shoot it. He can handle it. He was once a very sought-after player that had a lot of potential in this league. And he could probably get Eric Gordon some better shots with the second unit.
I agree. I think he's going to be reevaluated. I think he's getting closer is what they said. The last update was yesterday, and they said he can shoot, but he said the only update that they gave you is that he's getting closer to a return. They didn't give you a timetable.
Okay. So. All right, so there you go with little Rockets. We'll continue to roll on. Still got a Thursday night football to talk about, and, of course, all the big college and pro games coming up for the rest of the weekend. And if you have something on your mind you want to get off your chest, hey, we're here for you, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, and you can hit us on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. It's Cody Stutz in for Barry Laminack. It's the place to be on a Friday or any day you want to play poker. It is Prime Social. Stop by and see what I'm talking about. It is clean. It is classy. Good food, good beverage, great poker. And again, we're here till 4. Blitz here till 7. A.J. Hoffman is in the middle of a tournament right now. He just stopped by to say hi. Lance Zierlein, after getting his manicure and pedicure during a break, will be back, I'm sure, to do more poker as well. If you knock him out, there's a bounty where you can actually cash in. If you get one of those guys knocked out. But we were talking Rockets before the break. We were talking about a lot of things before that. Still a lot of football to get to. But because Cody just can't get enough, OU Mike, kind of early today, OU Mike wanting to chime in and get in on the show. Mike, what's up?
Oh, not much. I'd heard of that place where Nick goes to get his massages and stuff before. They don't have a W in their name. And I also wanted to talk about when you guys go out on location and stuff, like depending on how the weather is, where I don't think Barry should get a jacket. I think maybe Cody should just keep one of the three jackets because, you know, whenever he gets called up, he'll have it. But I think Barry should just bring his jacket from home.
And he's out. Nick, the trend continues. He starts strong early in the week. And just peters out and doesn't know how to take an L by the end of the week.
Are we giving him like a 4 or 5 out of 10? Is that fair?
I think you're being generous on that one.
I thought there were so many puns he could have made with the jacket comment.
Yeah.
And he didn't even go there. I thought he was going to go there.
And the Whole Foods just take the W out? Come on, man. I mean, we took it out and we tried to give it to you, but you don't get a W for that one right there. You're out, baby. You get the L.
Oh, man.
Man. Okay, so...
is he trying to say that I took Barry's jacket off or something?
No, he's playing off the Oliver situation and talking about, because Barry's been out and starters.
It was not his best effort.
If you have to put this much thought into trying to decipher what he just said, it was a bad call. I'm going to give it a 2.5, Nick. Your rating scale?
I'll give him a 5. I'll be nice and give him a 5.
Wow.
A 5?
A 5?
I was thinking like a 3.1.
Yeah, it's in that range.
I think it's because we know him now and we kind of know what to expect. We appreciate his
humor. So you're pity voting
it. It's not that funny.
I'm not gonna grade shame you, but that's a bad grade.
Hey, Nick, I'm pretty sure on America's Got Talent or Dances with the Stars, the judges have built a relationship and they know the performers now. But that's not going to hold them back from slicing their grapes off if they don't dance right. I think OU Mike has to deal with the rating. He brought that call to our attention.
Regardless, he has to up his game, regardless.
Yes.
Have you ever got stuck watching a reality show with the wife or the girlfriend?
The wife or the mother-in-law.
Oh,
when, yeah. When grandma comes to visit for, like, she comes to visit for a month, month and a half at a time.
Yeah.
Our DVR suddenly fills up with things that I never pressed record on.
Yeah.
And as bad as Lisa is with Real Housewives.
Oh, she's a Real Housewives gal?
Any of them. You name the city,
my
she'll
girlfriend
watch.
Is, too. Yeah.
But, yeah, when they start getting into the Dances with the Stars the talent shows and CBS This Morning on Sunday for Sunday mornings, I'm like, you guys run the gamut of just, oh, my God, awful TV. But, oh, yeah, I've sat through all that.
I don't mind a good reality show, but I want something to, you know, bring to the table or something, you know? Like, I'll fire off a couple seasons of Great British Bake Off, but I'm, you know, I don't know about Dancing with the Stars.
Great British Bake Off?
What?
The Great British Bake Off?
The Great British Bake Off?
You've never watched this?
This is a show?
It's a show.
And you watch it?
It's great.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I love it.
Next thing you know, you're going to be cutting the turkey and the ham at the frickin' potluck buffet at work because you're Lance Zierlein and you're a foodie.
Oh, no, I love cooking shows.
I would never see that or notice that about you.
I love – yeah, no, this it was on PBS.
Do you have an apron at home that you wear?
But now it's on Netflix. No, I don't wear an apron.
When you cook?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. No, you watch it.
What? The British Biscuit Show?
No, The Great British Bake Off. It's on Netflix. There's 6 seasons on Netflix. It's really good.
That's 5.5 too many.
They call cookies biscuits.
Well –
like, it's biscuit week, and then they make cookies. And I was like, that is not what a biscuit looks like. It took me 2 seasons
Nick, are you hearing out. This? We might have to reevaluate.
I mean, I am. I love anything bread, biscuit. Like, I love that kind of stuff. I just don't know if I would watch it as a show. But I've watched stuff on the Food Network. Like, I
just
used to be a fan
of. Just because you love
to
eat it doesn't mean you want to spend a half hour to an hour
true.
Watching it being made.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more.
You how much of your time are you wasting away watching the Great Biscuit Show?
No, Great British Bake Off. It's only an hour, not even an hour, because you take the because it's on PBS, so they just fire through it pretty quick.
I cannot
you're
believe
out, you're
I'm
out, on
out for one.
Are you out on all cooking shows though?
Yeah.
Okay. All
pretty
right.
much.
Well, I used to Chopped was a good show for me. I like Chopped. Is Chopped no longer a good?
No,
show
I like Chopped okay. I'm more of a Guy's Grocery Games guy. It's more laid back. I like Guy Fieri.
Okay, again, I'm going to say a Guy's Grocery Game?
Yeah, Guy Fieri hosts a show, and they have chefs run around a supermarket, pick out the ingredients.
Oh, I've seen that. That's actually pretty good. That's actually
yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah, it's a really good show.
That's
See,
a good
Nick
show.
My back on this.
Yep, I could. I could endorse that show.
What's wrong with you? You got to have some junk down there or something to be able to say, I'm putting my foot down. I'm not watching the Great Biscuit Bumble and the freaking gross guy. And here I am thinking you're teaching guys how to shop at a grocery store, but no, Guy is Guy Fieri. And you're watching. Oh, my God. What are you doing, man?
Hey, man, I just like the cooking shows. I like the competition element of it.
There's a competition element in a cooking show.
Pick up a tip every now and then. You know, it's good stuff.
Nick, you should be isolating that all in itself.
Well,
you
see,
need to start
now
a new
I'd have to save it for the next time he fills. Well, actually, he could fill in pretty soon, so maybe I should isolate
it. Yeah, there you go. Because if Cody's all about picking up the tip, I mean, holy cow.
Phrasing.
We've got bigger issues than we ever knew we had, and this has nothing to do with the jacket. This is crazy. You're spending all this time watching cooking.
No. You make it seem like I go home and just immediately fire up the Food Network.
It's a distinct possibility. Do you watch HGTV?
No.
See, because I've got a buddy of mine, Nick, who you know. But I've got a buddy of mine who I would never in a million years would have thought loves cooking shows, and he loves cooking shows. And then on top of that, He also loves HGTV.
Like the house hunting
he
shows?
He loves house hunting. He likes the fixer-up shows. He likes all that with the happy couple that weren't so happy that now they're happy. The people that are from here are from Texas.
Oh, the from Waco?
Yeah.
Is that Craig Ackerman? That sounds like a Craig Ackerman.
It is not, but you're close. You're in the ballpark, and we have dined with this person before. So, yeah, though I don't get it, though. But I guess to each his own, and some people.
So if you're not firing up a hoops game or some football or something, what are you watching? Like NCIS,
HBO movies.
Okay.
I have the Joe Buck. I think it's
interview series.
Yeah,
show.
The interview series where the interviewees are allowed to cuss, and they get into some pretty in depth stories. There was a really good one on with McEnroe the other night that I watched. The LeBron Barbershop show.
Okay.
It's just a lot of times if I'm watching TV and it's not a game, then I'm basically on the treadmill or something like that. So I need something that's going to keep my attention away from watching how much time I'm on the treadmill.
Gotcha. You know what motivates me when I'm on the treadmill? Those cooking shows.
I was just going to say, man. And then when you're done, you run right down in the kitchen and start whooping up some British bakery treats.
Got some biscuits.
Some British biscuits, but they're actually cookies.
Patisseries.
Your what hurts? What's a patisserie?
That's how they say. That's how they. Never mind.
It's a what? What happened to this show? It was going so well, and we're not even at the halfway point, and we're talking about patisseries and biscuits.
The biscuits.
Tea and crumpets is one thing, but patisseries and biscuits?
They've never had to make crumpets on the show, ironically.
Damn. Well, there's season 7 right around the corner, and now you've got a new show. Maybe you can be the executive producer.
One can hope.
Good Lord, trumpets and crumpets. Maybe you could have Harry Connick Jr. on. You can make it a whole New Orleans theme. What are we doing here?
Oh, man.
Okay, Nick.
I knew I'd
it's all yours.
You in some way.
I don't know. I mean, maybe you and Nick can go to your place and kick back and watch some of these shows.
I'm pitching it to Brandon next week. Me and Nick will do a cooking show.
I'm down.
You in, Nick?
Yeah.
Totally down.
You do it at Whole Foods and get a massage for the process. Just like Lance, you can make it all work for you.
A dollar a minute.
There you go. And we can make our money back from the sponsors in the show just by having people come in for massages. Okay. It's already gone off the rails. We'll try and get it back on. Hey, we've got 90 in the books. Still got 90 to go in the big show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, where it's at @Cody_Stutes. It's at @TheProducerNick, and it's Pac-Man Joel with a K. It's the usual suspects on an F Yeah Friday, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big shows. We continue on an F Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects, live from Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. The place to be if you play poker in Houston. You will not find a cleaner, classier environment than here at Prime Social. Stop by and get into some of the games going on right now, and they go on all the time, morning, noon, and night, every day of the week. It is the place to be if you want to play some poker and have a very, very safe environment to be around. Our promo team is here, led by Tosh. Everybody's here, so if you want to stop in, get a chance to grab some free ESPN stuff, spin the wheel, win some prizes. Cody Stutes is here filling in for Barry.
I am.
We are always happy to have you, except for now.
Except for 15 minutes ago,
I
weren't
yeah,
so happy
15
with me.
Minutes ago, I was always happy to have Cody on the show, and now I am reevaluating every single decision I've ever made simply because of the British biscuit in between,
hey,
or whatever you what is it called?
In 3 weeks, when Nick and I's cooking show's taken off on Sports Map, and you're popping on to show us the finest Blank family recipes.
I can assure you, I will not be popping on. in
what
any
if
of
we
that.
Talk about a grilled cheese sandwich that has like a ton of ketchup on it? Would you join
no,
us then?
No, because I am the ketchupinator. I get to decide. Yes, I get to decide how much ketchup and if I use it or not. And you have to understand, it's a gourmet technique. My mom would make the grilled cheese when I was little.
Right.
And if she made it right, where the cheese was perfectly melted and it was a golden crispy, the bread was golden and crisp, then I didn't need ketchup. But if she was trying to make me something, my dad something, doing some other things, and it got a little overdone, ketchup saves the day.
See, Nick, there's episode 3, the Blank Family
no
Grilled Cheese Recipe.
Chance.
Exactly. And he'll join us
no
for sure.
No chance.
For sure.
Not going to happen. No, you guys and your biscuits and all the whatever, whether it's British or I don't or broadcast. There's your guys' show right there. Broadcast biscuits. You guys can just hot cross buns.
The gourmet technique
care,
could be executed to perfection, and we could put ketchup on it, so it'd be like a, it'd be double the fun for you. It'd be like a perfectly gourmet cooked grilled cheese sandwich with some ketchup on it.
You don't have to be a gourmet to make a grilled cheese. For
yeah, but I want to know the Blank Family cheese
yeah,
recipe.
The technique.
You know, like, which cheeses, how much, are we using shredded,
ain't,
are we using
in
sliced?
In our house, ain't that technical and ain't that expensive.
But see, that see, sometimes simple's the best. You can come do that episode 3.
I simply would never partake in the show. That's as simple as it gets.
Do you know what? That hurts my feelings.
You'll be okay. Especially if you have more freaking Netflix cooking shows to watch. Then you can go guy grocery shopping with On Fire or Fury or whatever. Speaking of cooking, by the way, the Rockets coaching staff is going to be out there serving Thanksgiving dinner. And I told you in the break, does that mean that assistant coach Jeff Bezdelic will be serving humble pie to Carmelo Anthony at table number one? I don't know. It's possible. But I just got that email. So we know that the Rockets are giving back in more ways than one as they're getting back their defensive coordinator after Thanksgiving. That should help. And speaking of ketchup, you guys, did you see that Mahomes is going to cash in?
Oh, this could not have worked out any better for him.
Because he took it from macaroni and cheese to steak, for one.
Right.
And said that he's a big ketchup guy. So then Heinz 57 got involved and said, we love that you love our ketchup. If you set the all-time NFL record for touchdown passes in a season at 57, we will give you ketchup for life. And he said, man, that'd be awesome, and I would not turn it down, and said a lot of things. He also was very clear in the fact that if as much as he loves ketchup on different things, he loves it most on Whataburger. And Whataburger then chimed in and said, give us an address so we know where we can send you this. And it was a huge display.
It was the most illustrious, grand swag bag of ketchup-centric items ever. And all Mahomes said is he wanted a Whataburger in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Well, hey, son, you got a couple million laying around. Franchisee, baby.
And if not, someone should get their ass going right now to beat them to the punch.
I know.
Because that's like when you're talking about bringing In-N-Out to Houston and everybody was all fired up about all of that. I mean, the bottom line is if the man who is obviously in Kansas City, the most recognizable and popular athletic celebrity, says, I want a Whataburger, you better start already buying the orange and white awning. I mean, this should already be done.
Yes. They should have the land cleared out already.
There has to be a bad barbecue joint with macaroni and cheese that they could turn into a Whataburger in about 2 weeks. It has to be. I mean, come on, people. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to be a marketing genius. Let's go. He just threw it out there with a plan.
It's pretty simple.
I ketchup think on steak, I'm not doing, by the way.
The furthest one north is, it looks like, Oklahoma. You're just one state away. Right there.
Pop
real
on
close.
Over. You'd be neighbors.
Real close.
Ketchup on steak, I won't do. Ketchup on meatloaf, ketchup on a hamburger, no steak. So you guys can write that down too.
If it's like a tough as a bowling shoe steak
I have
at
dogs.
Like some diner, oh. You know, on the road maybe.
Well, if you have to get something on it so that you can actually
cover
wash
up.
It down.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that.
Right. But, yeah.
But if not,
just did you see the story? Like this is where Mahomes maybe is. Super self-aware to a great degree.
Okay.
Does a little bit of social media, not a ton.
Boy, his girlfriend does.
Well, man. So, does a little social media, not a ton, but is pretty aware that if people knew he was ordering ketchup on his steak, it would have been out there and like kind of been a big story and stuff like that. So, the story, I was reading this week, he was out with his mom at dinner, and like they were having steak at a nice restaurant, and he wouldn't order the ketchup because people knew he was there, and they didn't want to see him putting ketchup on his steak. She was like, just order the ketchup. He's like, no, I'm not going to do it. And so she ordered the ketchup and then slid it over to him so nobody would see that he ordered ketchup for his steak. Because, you know, if you eat steak different than other people, you're a horrible human being.
Yeah, just like grilled cheese.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, the amount of punishment that I take for the fact that I am a Midwest guy and I prefer ketchup on a lot of different foods. And Nick just absolutely beats me like a drum.
What's your favorite ketchup?
Oh, there's only one.
Do you have a ketchup preference?
Damn right. You go Heinz, you don't go any other brand. No fancy, no Hunts, no other this crap. You go straight Heinz ketchup because, like I told you, I can tell the difference between Pepsi and Coke. I can tell the difference between Heinz and any other ketchup.
Now, see, now this is a sports map video. Joel Blank ketchup testing?
I could do that, yes. But I try to get clicks and people to like my videos, and I don't think that would – I think that would go over like a fart in church.
I think the people would want to see you blindfold ketchup test.
Aaron, blindfold ketchup test? Probably not. All right, I will not be a guest on your cooking show. We got this text just in, by the way. Nothing like taking my six-year-old to the zoo today and walking into the chimpanzee exhibit, and they are mating. Turned around real quick, enjoying the show, guys, on the app while here at the zoo. Well, we appreciate listening, too. But, well, let me tell you about the chimpanzees, the birds, and the bees, son. Wow, that would be uncomfortable.
How cool is this person taking their kiddo to the zoo and just throwing in the one earbud? Like, yeah, uh-huh, son, that's a rhino. Okay, well, hold on. Cody watches what? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That guy, I like that guy.
Someone chimes in, Nick and Stoops' cooking show should be called Salad Tossing with Nick and Friends.
No. I don't like that name.
Toots and Stoots.
No, I don't like
that name either.
I meant to ask you guys, too, speaking of the zoo, have you guys ever gone to Zoo Lights?
Yes.
Is it cool?
Yes.
My daughter, I think, would love it.
Oh,
Lisa
yeah.
and I were talking about yeah. it, and I know that they had, like, the soft opening or the preview when it was freezing cold, and I knew Nick wouldn't even consider going at that time. But I think we're going to do the family outing to the Zoo Lights this year. It looks very cool when I saw it on the news.
Yeah, and I mean, are you thinking about like...
I'm thinking about avoiding the chimpanzee area
right,
now,
yeah.
but at the same time, I think that the Zoo Lights would be cool.
The kiddos really enjoy it, and depending on how... If you're going through every little bit of it, they get pretty tuckered out by the end, so they see everything
That's
and appreciate
a bonus
it.
Too. Nick, you ever been?
I have not. I've never been to that, so it sounds cool, but I know what you're talking about, but I've never been.
I mean,
no.
Hey, they go all out.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
I mean, I don't know what their electric bill is, but boy, there's a lot of lights.
There's a good portion of the zoo. It's not like the entire zoo's open to it and decorated, but there's a great portion of it that is. And you know what? It's a solid little move if you go when it's cool. And you know, Nick, you never been? Take a lady, buy some of the hot chocolates there, sneak a little bit of, you know,
your favorite liqueur.
Yeah, right into the hot chocolate. Walk around, and you know, gals love to put it on their Insta and all that great stuff.
Whoa, is this a sexual technique you're talking about?
No.
Gals like to put it on their Insta?
Their Instagram.
Oh, gotcha.
Come on.
Hey, we don't need those kind of details. It's still a family show. Just because the chimpanzees are going off the rails doesn't mean that we got to keep it within the framework. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to continue to roll on with hour number 2, 3-hour show. We'll be joined by the Sports Mappers. Top of the hour. We are at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Stop on by, say hi. Maybe play a little poker. Have some fun. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's out, so Cody Stoots is in. We continue to roll on an FEF Friday here on The Usual Suspects. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride and always making us a part of your broadcast day. We have covered a lot of ground, fellas, including some that I didn't want to cover. And we still haven't talked about the game last night, which I'm probably happy about. But at some point, we can probably discuss it. Now, I guess, would be as good a time as any. I was actually thoroughly enjoying every bit of it through three quarters. Now, I had some remorse and some regret along the way for kind of scoring opportunities that they let go by the wayside.
Sure.
But overall, I felt like my green and gold was in control for most of the game, but I also kept in the back of my mind, every time the Packers go to Seattle, something weird happens, and the Packers end up losing. And lo and behold, last night, I told you guys, and you and I talked about this, Cody, and you were in agreement that this was kind of like a playoff game. This was a, you know, whoever wins is going to probably either go to the playoffs and have the best shot, and the other one's probably done. It's a do-or-die situation. And unfortunately, my Packers are dead. And I believe that Mike McCarthy as coach of the Packers is dead. I told you that before. I'll tell you that now. He solidified his fate, and if you looked at Twitter last night, the venom and hate that I told you had occurred in the past was at an all-time high, and it wasn't just fans. It was blue checkmark approved NFL guys top to bottom going, what are you doing, and how is this organization wasting, like I told you, between him and Favre, you know, only two Super Bowl wins in a quarter century. You are wasting one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game by not putting the right talent around them, around him. And again, kind of I gave you the precursor. If you watched any of the game, you could see him and what I was telling you. When he's not happy now, he used to kind of mask it. He's letting everyone know every chance he gets. He's not happy with Mike McCarthy, and I believe Mike McCarthy's gone.
It's just time. It's one of those situations that they moved on, and they finally made some changes in the front office, and now you're just going to have to make the change at the head coach position because you're not changing Aaron Rodgers. You've committed to him. Mm-hmm. He's not the problem, okay? Go out there.
He didn't have a great game because you and I were talking in a break. He's one of those guys that makes the incredible throw every time and make it look easy, but sometimes he makes the easiest throws look hard. Third and two, where he threw it right into the dirt, was just ridiculous. Forcing the hole, should you have gone for it on fourth and two. But overall, you'll take him over anybody else that you get your hands on pretty much.
Sure, yeah. You'll live with the routine stuff that goes awry for the improvisation that's amazing. And just the run, that the one touchdown where he was on the run.
Over to the right side.
Feet weren't set, and he just, boom.
61.5 yards on the run, on a dime, in a window. Catches the fourth string tight end for his first ever catch, which is a touchdown. And you're like, unbelievable.
Immediately Twitter blows up, and you're like, how many guys can do that? And it's like, well, there's only one guy that has like the physical capabilities to do it. It's Mahomes, but he's not hitting a guy that perfect. Because as you mentioned, it's not the stud playmaker that he's hitting for that play.
It's not Devontae Adams.
Yeah. And with McCarthy, though, it's like, how did it get to this? Like, where does it get to the point where you can't make it happen with this team? And I know there's a tiny deficiency here and there with the defense, and maybe the offensive line isn't as consistent as most people would want it to be. But, like, dude, you've got a guy that covers up a lot of stuff. How do you not make it work?
The window is closing. If you're a Packer fan or if you're a football aficionado, you don't want to look at the Aaron Rodgers era when it's over and be shaking your head going, how long did you blow this thing by not putting the right players around him to give him more chances to win games? And you still have time, but that's why I said Le'Veon Bell is going to be a Packer, I think. I thought he would be this year. I think he'll be next year. I think they'll definitely look at it. They'll be in the running for him. But I think that this is the only time you guys will hear me say this. It's a very mirrored situation between the Texans and the Packers right now. Both teams with first-year general managers. Both general managers trying to do things their way and also be different than the guy before. Much like what you see with Brian Gutekunst in Green Bay is going to dabble in free agency instead of like Ted Thompson, who only wants to prove he's the greatest evaluator of talent. They're going to start hopefully doing that while Rodgers still has 4 or 5 years left. But I just worry it's too late.
I wrote about this for Sports Map in my Friday six pack. It baffles me that we don't think about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers like we thought about Manning and the Colts and Brady and the Pats. Like, in it every year, the team to beat, they're going to win their division. You don't want to see them on your schedule at any point, and damn sure don't want to see them in the playoffs. And you just don't feel that way about the Packers, and it's not Aaron Rodgers' fault you don't feel
but
that way.
From a Rodgers perspective, you don't feel the same way either, because in the past, he would have come out and said, you know what, guys, R-E-L-A-X. Because we're going to be fine. We're going to run the table. We're going to get in the playoffs. And he did it. Last night, you can tell it's boiling over because he got a dumb question. And instead of being very polite and very professional and handling it the right way, he went off on Rob Domofsky of ESPN National because he had just had enough.
Yeah, didn't get it done. situational football.
Parents, any hope left for this season?
Come on, Rod. What kind of question is that?
I don't know. I mean,
come on, man.
Can't win on the road. What are you going to be able to do?
I don't even know how to answer that, Rob. I mean, come on, what am I supposed to say? Of course there's hope. Of course we believe in each other. You know, we're just going to take one galvanizing moment. So whether that's a speech or a practice or something happens in the game, something's got to get this thing going.
Did you guys see, Nick, you were at the game, so I don't know if you saw any of the football game. But again, I'm literally screaming and hoping not to wake up the whole house. But how they didn't challenge the long pass play that put Seattle in a position to get the go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter, where the ball obviously turns over, and there's not anyone in your press box, in one of your coaches' rooms, in your video room, that's saying, hey, Mike, throw the flag. Again, a mirror image of Bill O'Brien and the Texans is Mike McCarthy. And you're going to, as the head coach, you can point fingers, you can place blame, but it's all under the structure that you've created. How are you not challenging it? And it turns out to be the difference in the game.
You wanted a galvanizing opportunity? How about you win that game? Or at that very moment in the press conference, don't sound like a sad dog. Like, Aaron Rodgers sounded defeated.
He does sound like he's mailed it in.
In that moment.
And again, this, you know, another, like the Bill O'Brien moments, and you talk about that, or you talk about the missed opportunity where you get the turnover, then you get the ball back, and then you start getting conservative, and then you miss a field goal that you should have had. And you're looking back going, I should have had that too. And by the way, one of the reasons why he used as an excuse that he didn't throw the challenge flag trying to cover for his players, maybe he only had one timeout left, which means you're wasting timeouts throughout the second half. It's okay to do it in the first half. But in the second half, when you know inevitably in the fourth quarter you're going to need them and they're not there, that's on you.
I will never understand how coaches value 5 yards. College more so than pros. I'll never understand how they value 5 yards more than a timeout. I'll never understand that, Joel.
I don't either. Wasting timeouts.
It seems so old school, and so, and I'd be interested to know if McVay and Shanahan and these younger head coaches, if they do it. Because I can't off the top of my head think if they do or not. But I would venture to say that as newer coaches come in and younger guys, more forward-thinking guys, guys won't waste timeouts on 5 yards. Now, you're in a bad set on defense, and you got to call timeout because you're in a bad play on defense. I get it. I understand that. Because you blow one defensive play all of a sudden at 6 points. But 5 yards when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, 5 yards when Aaron Jones is playing as good as he is. Like,
the problem, like, too, though, Cody, is the fact that in the past it's worked where you run the game clock, or, I mean the play clock, all the way down to the final 5 seconds. And in the meantime, he's trying to get you guys to jump off sides, and he's doing all the cadence and things like that. NFL teams are smart. They watch film. It's not going to work anymore. But every single play, they run it down inside of five. And if there's a personnel switch real late or something happens, and you're all of a sudden, there you go. Now you got your five-yard penalty, or you got your timeout situation, and they're burning the timeouts, and it burned them last night.
Would you have gone for it on the fourth and two?
Absolutely. Because, you know, here's the deal. First of all, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's not some rookie quarterback. And he was effective on the short dinks and dunks. Even Aaron Jones was effective, and you could have rolled him out and had a lot of different options. But even if you don't get it and they get the ball in your territory, as long as you hold them to a field goal, you still will get the ball back with time on the clock, and you have a touchdown wins it, and you got a chance to have the game.
At some point, you have to hold them no matter what. Even if you go for it and you don't get it, you got to hold them. If you punt it, you still got to hold them because you only got one timeout and 4 minutes worth of clock. So you only have two stoppages, 2-minute warning and the timeout.
I also disagree with when he called the last timeout. He called the last timeout after the first play, right after Seattle got the ball back, and now all your eggs are in one basket. If you don't stop them on that, in the next four downs, and they get a first down, it's over, regardless of what the 2-minute timeout, stoppage, and everything like that. Yep. You screw yourself. And that's what he did. Instead of letting that first play, the running play that got 4 or 5 go, and you take your shots if they get a first down, hey, now you've got still two timeouts if you include the 2-minute warning, and you're still in the ball game. Instead, they all had to stand around and watch the clock run out.
Exactly. I didn't love it. I would have gone for it. And honestly, I think they'd probably get it. And then, you know, you got to go for it again later on, maybe. Or if your offense gets rolling, you got a timeout sitting there and the 2-minute warning, and all you need is 3 to tie. A touchdown wins that thing. Man, I'd have been all over that if I was McCarthy. But, yeah, you know, they don't pay me.
And you can see on Aaron's face, he was not happy that way either.
Nope.
He was not happy McCarthy didn't give him that opportunity. And now if you're Mike McCarthy, you're dead man walking, you might as well throw it all out the window and take as many risks as you can because you ain't going to have a job next year unless they run the table. All right, we got 1 hour to go in the big show. We're going to be joined next by the Sports Mappers. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.